becomes a bit of a problem. Yeah. Yeah, you can sit there. You just sit there only when there's no more space. But otherwise you can't see the world, you can't sing, you can't do anything there. Okay, this morning, let's pray together once again. Now, Father, we pray for grace indeed, not only to be understood, but to be felt and to be experienced. And I pray that you will grant us that grace once again as we read your word to fathom how we can understand challenges, problems, difficulties along life's pathway and find the suitable solution for all the things which we come across. We pray for your grace and your blessings as we take time to read your word. Speak to our hearts deeply, personally. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we come to Romans 15 once again, 16 now. We're going to take a last couple of sessions, and we are going to begin the book of Hebrews very, very shortly. But as we look at Romans 16, the 15th and the 16th chapter, you find that Paul becomes down-to-earth, practical, greeting different people, meeting people where they are, right? I think that is an important thing. So that is the practical value of it all. Okay, so we have a list of friends which we may mention, and then we're going to take a look at some of the problems that still remain, and they will always be such. There will always be challenges, problems that will remain, and no matter what you do, this is going to be there. The question is, what do we do with them? And you know, you wish there is a single approach, but there isn't. That there isn't really a single approach for any kind of all the problems that are there. But let's take a look at this very, very carefully. Okay, so we note the problem. So 16, 17. Now I urge you, brethren, who cause divisions. Now, the word here is where you have the idea of division here. Now, sometimes division, there are different types of divisions almost. Okay? Sometimes the division that we have in a 1 Corinthians situation, Corinthian church, is a problem of schism. This one is not so much a schism, it's almost like a dichotomy. The two different words are used actually to tell you that the problems are not always exactly the same. And so we need to deal with the problems differently as we see them, as we meet up with them. There really, really has to be a different approach at all times. Okay, so when we deal with schism, for example, let's look at 1 Corinthians, right? And 1 Corinthians, where Paul talks about this thing here, and so he talks about the divisions, the different groups of people that came up in chapter 1, right? So some would say, well, it's almost like a faction. Okay, one will say I am of Paul, as if they have, as if Paul would be very, very pleased with that kind of affiliation. But frankly, there's nothing to be proud about at all in any way. But that problem absolutely is there. Look at verse 12. Okay, and so as we take a look at verse 12, one will say, I am of Paul, another one will say here. And so that was big concern in verse 13, where Paul said, you see, and the idea is that of division. So we have got division, we have got schism, we have got factions, you name it, and they all look alike, but they're not exactly the same. Well, so that's what we want to be very, very careful about, right? And the danger, why is there the danger? Because the word here is The word is to stumble. In Romans 16:17, so that we take a look at these things here and the offenses that will come. Okay? So when we take a look at the vision on offenses, the word offense here is not to make people angry. That's not the meaning of the idea of offense here. It literally is to cause someone to stumble. Right? So sometimes it's the way the thing is translated. Sort of, would you be offended? No, it's not a question of being offended. That's not what we mean by offense here. The word offense literally means here, in this particular text, it means you're causing somebody to stumble and fall. That is a danger. Right? So don't take it straight off. Sometimes the word has to be translated carefully. And we are not looking at offending as a person you're upsetting. That's not a point. The problem is that when these divisions come, the factions come, the difficulties come, the danger is that people will stumble and they will fall in their faith. That is the danger. And a lot of people fall. That if we cause someone to fall for whom Christ died, then great is that sin. Because we've caused somebody to stumble. Okay? So this is where the danger is, and this is what Paul was trying to alert them to. Right? So the challenge is how do we resolve problems like that? Are there problems anywhere, everywhere? The problems are always lurking in the corner somewhere. Give it half a chance, it will come right up. All you need is to stoke the fire. All you need is to create difficulties. All you need is, you know, and then it never goes away, unfortunately. And this is why. All you need is sow doubts, sow tares, and it will grow. That's the nature of sin. It keeps growing. You know, you wish you could just simply say, oh, please forgive me, it's over. It's not. The damage has been done. And the difficulty is, what do we do now? And if we're not careful, it will just become worse. So that is how Paul says, well, I urge you, literally is I beg you, I plead with you. This is important. The word here, urge, can be used in a number of ways. Right? Same thing, I beseech you, same. I beseech you, brethren, same word. Parakaleo word. I beseech you, brethren, look out for the ones. Yeah. What is the thing here? The challenge is to look out. You see, sometimes we are pretty naive, and this later on in the morning worship, I will need to highlight some things along the way. See, there are people who come into our midst, and we just sort of assume that everyone who comes into our midst is friendly. Well, that's not true. And the word here is what we're going to watch out. Right? The word is where we're big, you know, literally, the word is scope. Watch out and see what happens. So this lady came in a bag full of electronic equipment. So many telephones inside her bag. How can one person have so many telephones like that? And sometimes, very unwisely, we are fooled into thinking, oh, the person is coming for worship. It is good for us to ask you, I was late for worship. It's good to ask the person, what do you think time worship is? Tell you, they wouldn't know. If they're not with us, they wouldn't know. And they will loiter around, everybody worship, and then they start all over the place. And so one of our people, the handphone was stolen, not only because it was left behind, but because the person went into the bag, took it out, and put it in. We need to be warned. And yesterday she was found loitering again at the Kopitiam, that Golden Gate. Anybody who steals things, I mean, in the street, you can say, okay, maybe it's the thief. But anybody who comes to a place of worship to steal is a different category. They have no regard, no respect for a place of worship. People do not steal in malls or temples or churches ordinarily. So when people do that, we gotta watch out. You know, our people in Bethany are so trusting, so friendly to a fault. Let's not be so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. Now, that is my biggest worry, you know. We have people who come into our midst, and then one day the young people came to me, "Pastor, we need to order some more toilet paper." I said, "Why? We just ordered last month." So we only need to order again. They all disappeared. What? Is there an epidemic? What? Was there a diarrhea problem? Was it What was the problem? It would just kept on disappearing. Until there came a person, a bank lady who came in, and then, somebody had to go and ask her, "Can I see your bag, please? What's inside?" And all the toilet rolls were inside. No, it's not that the person needs toilet rolls. We'll be very happy to supply. But don't come and steal things like that. So, I mean, there are situations like that. No, we don't have to be nasty or rude, but we have to tell the people, this is a place of worship, and this sin is worse than you think. Right? You know, it reminds me of an old story of how old pastors deal with problems. So this old one pastor said, "You know, in my church, you know, we got lots of bats in the belfry." And then the older one said, "I used to have them too." He said, "What did you do?" "So I baptized them and never came back." It's a funny way, but sometimes you take a look at it. We need to find a solution to some of these problems, and we really do. And the best thing to do is to ask ourselves, what can we do? The first step is we've got to watch out for them. So Paul says, note them, please. Okay? And look out. The word is skopein. Literally, skopeo is a word for note them, watch them, mark them, be careful. Just be aware that there are people who are like that. Right? Not that we look at everybody suspiciously, but we do need to know that there are people who, whenever they speak, they are negative. They're always double entender, there are innuendos, and we can't speak straight. I think this is the real problem. Some years back, there was you're familiar with PayPal? Yeah, it's one of the biggest things, you know, in the US. And the CEO of PayPal was asked to go and check out an Israeli company. And so he said, "Okay, I have to." So Benchmark is the owner of PayPal, actually, and said, "Could you check it out?" So he went over to check it out. And he spoke to a few of the younger ones, and they said, "What does your company do?" He says, "Well, we check internet things. Our roots are terrorist finders. You find terrorists? Are you serious? How do you find them online? What's your system?" He says, "We know how to look, distinguish between the good and the bad." How do you know what is good and what is bad? Oh, he was just really up, you know, his eyes rolled. What? Why am I asked to go and interview people who talk like that? He said, "Okay, we'll give you 100,000 accounts on PayPal. Tell us who are the good ones, who are the bad ones." He was thinking, "My goodness, this small company, what can they do?" In 3 days, five days, they finished 100,000 searches. They came up with a list of their findings. And they were astonished. They were better than the PhD engineers who look after PayPal and eBay things. "What's your system? How do you know how to see things like that?" He said, "Well, there are trails." "What trails?" "We know who's good and who is bad." "Are you serious?" "Yeah." They bought a company for $169 million. "Teach us your system." They send their findings to the PayPal people. "Look at them. Are you serious?" It's a small outfit, formerly Mossad people. They were formerly Mossad people, and they came up with a system. I say, wow, that really scares them. So, serious, we need to watch out. But sometimes we don't know what to look out for. There are always trails. And that's what we're looking at. And so they said, this is how what we look for. And they said, okay, we're buying you out. Work for us, and we will pay you. And this is what they asked for. So they offered them $679 million, is nothing doing. So they finally came up to the price of $169 million US, but they bought over the company. And they roped them in, revamped the whole system for us. And that is, see, we need to watch out. And sometimes we don't. We don't know what to look for. We're almost afraid. If I look at the person askance, wouldn't that make me judgmental? No, you just need to be watchful. In any kind of situation, whether it's in a church or whether it is outside, if the people out there in the world need to search, why don't we look at the same thing? Now, we're not going to post anybody's thing here, but look, this is a real situation. And it happened last Sunday. And yesterday, she was nosing around in this area here. And after she was here, she's got two sons who back her up and appeared at the other Bethany site. We have to know who they are. Right? So please watch out for these things here. In this case here, it's not division. They're just stealing things. And people have their wallets stolen. But our young people need to be taught because they are not very careful about things like that. Because we're so trusting. We just go down there, chit-chat, and then laptop, everything is there. And here comes a person. There are so many devices inside the thing here. And she's so brazen, she couldn't help herself to coffee and tea. I mean, if you are a stranger, if you are new at these things here, believe me, they really know their stuff. Now, I learned my lesson years ago when there was this person who came. I brought the person in, ex-prisoner, and all that. And then the person came along, tell sob stories for young people, very tender-hearted, also very foolish. And then John lent $400, lent $500, lent $200. Came out to $4,000. And then the young people came to ask me and said, we all borrowed from grandma, borrowed from father, mother to give out, and then there's nothing. He said, but the person showed me the POSB, almost zero. That's why we needed the help. Can you please help us get back our money? I paid $4,000 out of my own pocket. And then I had to tell the person, you are no longer welcome here. Not for the next $4,000, but just in case the person comes, you got to tell the person, you are no longer welcome here. This happens. That's my first lesson. The second lesson was a person, also ex-prisoner, after a while I stopped ministering there. Because they know you are soft. The person says, I've come to wish you Chinese New Year, and so what was the old bungalow days. And the person, I said, yeah, well, let me get you a drink. So when they get a drink, less than 2 minutes. Oh, I've got to go now. Huh? I thought you asked me for a drink. Oh, no, I've got to do something very urgent. And so I thought nothing. Okay, I said, take care. Then my son came back with me and said, Dad, my ang pao money is gone. Remember when I give you the money? I said, yeah, it should be there. And there it was. In 2 minutes, he knew exactly where to case it, what the things are, what are the chances. I wouldn't know where to start, but they know. And so $700 just disappeared. So let's watch out, right? So we have people who come into our midst, who take toilet paper, who they come for lunch, they put plastic bag, put it inside, and then go around, come back again. And they go two or three times. Go and eat all you want, but, don't do this. And some of them are quite nasty. They really kind of, one person took a walking stick and smashed up some of our stuff as well. You got to watch out for these things here. Okay, not everybody who comes to Bethany is from Bethany. Because the problem is you all don't know who's who, you see. So I keep on telling the people, when you go to I used to hike around in Singapore, you go to a kampung, when you are a stranger, immediately all the village dogs will come. They will bang, bang, bang all the time. First to alert, and you step forward, they will growl. They're going to attack you. So what do? Now you know you're a stranger. You got to call them, hello uncle, yeah, we're just walking through here. Then they will tell the doctor to call up the dogs. Otherwise, we are in for a serious fight. And we have to know. We just have to be alert. So after a while, you get to know. This one looks like Simon, but not Simon. You have to know. You have to know. Otherwise, you won't know. You won't know. This one from India or from Myanmar, you don't know. They will come in. I am looking for my Burmese friends. Who? I think Winston or something. Huh? Who? We don't have a Winston here. Something like that. And then we are foolishly, yeah, welcome. No, that's not how it works. Please, Paul's word is skopeo. Please watch out. Scope them out. We must know. Right? So this is where in verse 17, look out for the ones. They are always very, they cause, divisions. And they will cause people to stumble. So what's the best thing to do? Watch out. And there we go. Contrary to the teaching which you have learned. So there must be a benchmark. What's our benchmark? The doctrines that we have learned. The teachings that we have learned. Right? Now, so when we hear people who will sound a bit funny, a bit off, and we know straight away, this is not the doctrine that we've learned. So the doctrines that we have learned, that's why chapter 1, 2, 3, all 15 chapters, we must know what we have learned so that it becomes our safeguard. It becomes a part of us. We hear, we see, we know. Automatically, it becomes a part of us. That is what Paul tells you, must know, and this is what, okay? And what do you do? The best thing to do, and turn away from them. Verse 17. Okay, and we look at, the word here is the word avoid. Well, the stronger word is the word, the idea of turning away. Not just to avoid, but to actually, eklinao, just to turn away from it. You see this? I'm not just avoiding you, I am turning away from you. Now, that is a very, very safe thing to do. Now, you must understand that there are many approaches, and let's take a look at some of them. In Galatians, in Galatia area, the churches were so badly affected. Paul had to pronounce an anathema on them. A curse. Wow, that's serious. Because they had literally departed from Christ to something that is entirely false. In which case, avoiding them is not the answer. Right? Turning away from them is not the answer. There are times we have to face them. And you're going to face them, head on. That was the Galatian approach. So that's one. The Corinthian approach, the whole entire 1 Corinthians, 16 chapters, everyone, he dealt with the problem piecemeal. Had to take the problem apart, resolve the difficulties, and that was constantly dealing with problem after problem. There wasn't a church more riddled with problems than the Corinthian church. You name it, they have it. And there was a church that was so befuddled by problems that just couldn't get out of it. Well, that was the third rule. The Thessalonian church was a different thing entirely. There were people who were taking advantage. There were people who were being persecuted. There were people who were trying to harm the church in different ways. Well, that was a different approach. The Colossian approach was more heresy. Wrong teachings. How do you deal with them? Right teachings is the answer. Romans is a different situation again. So there isn't a single standard approach. You cannot accuse Paul of being inconsistent. No, it's not a question of inconsistency. It's a question of the fact that he mastered several different approaches. There isn't just one approach. And that is that's a challenge of it all. To make sure that we are looking at, you know, resolving problems where it is best dealt with. And it calls for different approaches. And that is important. Right? So sometimes when we look at all life's many, many challenges and problems, we have to ask ourselves, what's the best thing to do? And there will be a call for some kind of a personal approach, and it will be different. You mustn't have one single approach. That's it. That's my way of doing it. We're going to do it wrong because you need to handle the different problems differently. Right? So this is important. So when Paul, you can add on, among the Cretans, Paul wrote to Titus and said, well, you know, these fellows are all lazy people. Be careful. They're not really lazy, they're liars. Well, you got to deal with them differently. If we go to Perth, we do it differently. They kind of Bethany, we again here, we do it differently. But we stay true to the Word of God. And there isn't a single standard approach in any way. Right? So 16:17 begins the first one. Right? One, the word is to avoid. That's a nice way of translating it. But it literally means you turn away out from them. Right? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the path of the sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful. Okay, you don't do that. But not only you don't do that, you turn away from them. No fellowship with people like that. Because they cause division. One, they're going to cause people to stumble. And that's very obvious. And that is something that we need to consider very, very carefully. So 16:17, watch out, turn away from them. You know who they are? You know what they're doing? What's the best thing to do? Get out from there. Turn away from them. Now, that is the real challenge. It's not an easy thing to practice. Right? Some people say, well, let's have compassion on them. We end up compromise. Now, that is always a difficulty. What do we do? And that is the challenge. And that is always, always difficult. Okay? Now, we take a look at how to note them. We must note what the people are like. These people we are turning away from. Okay, number one. Let's take a look very, very carefully. Verse 18, step by step. Okay? So, for these people, now this is very important. Okay, these people, such people, they do not actually serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is the first thing to know. The word here to serve is not you, is the word where Paul uses, because I'm a born servant. That is the word here. Same word, doulos word. These are not people who serve the Lord. You see, remember we go back to all the different words for service. This is the heart kind of word. I am committed. I want to serve the Lord as a doulos. I am a born slave. I'm a born servant. Well, that is what we're going to talk about in the July, August months. We are going to look at the idea where we study this phrase called servants of Christ. How does it? Well, it will fit into the whole idea of the two young men getting ordained. What does it mean to be? And Paul has a very, very clear and very distinct way of describing what it means to be servants of Christ. So we're going to be spending all of Paul's writings for July, August. So it will be a very interesting study to look at it, right? But see, you've got to watch out that born, are they servants of the Lord? The danger is to be trapped in the system where everybody is trying to please somebody up there. Not another pastor, not the Lord, but somebody who can help you to be where you are in the church. And that is scary. And that can happen. So you really have to watch out for things like that. They do not serve God, but they serve their own value. Now that is a real problem. Okay? And how are they? How come they can do get away? Because we call it smooth words. The word here, smooth, is the word golden. They know how to flatter people. They know how to use good speech. But beneath all those things is a lot of nonsense. And we have to watch out. And they will deceive the hearts of the guileless. The word here now, that is interesting. They will literally end up deceiving those who are simple. The word here, simple, is a word, the person doesn't know evil. That's the whole idea. Akakon is the idea, a person who doesn't know evil. Very much, I read his words, Bethany. So you can have people walk into our church, take away handphones all over the place and a whole bag full, and nobody knows what it is. Now I hear that there's a new telephone where if you can call your phone and the phone won't stop ringing until the owner can switch it off. Maybe get that device for yourself. So that when somebody steals it, you know you can track it. And they track the phone to the other Bethany. So at least some of our young people were brave enough, went to the other Bethany, confronted the person. My phone. Really? How do you know? Can't stop, right? Well, that's what I said. Maybe that you are. If we don't know how to check people out, at least find some device that will prevent your phone from being hijacked like that. At least do something about it. Now, I just want to alert. I think all of us, akakong is the word that describes Bethany much. Simple. not in a bad sense, simple, but literally means the word simple here is not a bad word. It's just simply we're not used to the fact that there are evil people around. We don't know, we don't understand evil. So when people evil come, we can't even recognize it. Well, that is the problem. Right? So that is what we are looking at in verse 18. Right, so this is important. So be careful of people who use smooth words, flattering speech. They will deceive the akakon. In other words, those who don't know evil. Now that is the big problem. Now, so 16, 19. Your obedience to all has become known. It's reached the world. Now, that is a word. The word, the idea of obedience is actually a good word. Right? I mean, but let's not be obedient and be simple at the same time. Can we be obedient and be street smart? Please do. Can we combine a little bit of street smart along the way so that this is, so Paul talks about obedience, chapter 1, right? So which this is the gospel, and then we talk about what it means for us to him we receive apostleship for obedience to the faith. There is no bigger word, no more important word than to obey the Lord. And sacrifice comes a far second compared to obedience to the Lord. So let's practice obedience wisely, not foolishly. Right? So there are people who will take time to do it in crazy ways. Let's not be fooled by all these things. I think that is absolutely important for us to take note of. Okay? So in 16:19, and this is something that we need to look at, I want you to be wise on the one hand and to be good, and to be innocent on the other hand with reference to evil, which is good. Right? So there's a difference between 19 and the previous verse, the idea of the simple. Okay? Now in verse 19, I wish you to be wise. Please be wise. The Lord teaches us, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Don't change the analogy. Okay? Don't be as wise as doves. Because doves are not really wise. right? And unfortunately, so we don't change the imagery, please. Wise as serpent, that's what we're told. Wise over here, this is very important on one hand. But on the other hand, now this is where we're interesting to be wise with reference to doing good. Okay, and on the other hand, innocent with reference to evil. The word innocent is different from the word simple. Right? Now, this is very important. In other words, we know the danger of evil. We have been bitten by evil before. Watch out. Don't be simplistic. So we have to be discerning. Is this person for real? Is this person good? Some of the problem is everyone is well-meaning. And sometimes being well-meaning is not really, really, really good. Right? So sometimes I'm given supplements and I appreciate the supplements. So this one's very good. It will boost your immune system. Okay, so I'll try it. The problem is that when I begin to think, why am I itching all over the place? I begin to realize that that has a very high vitamin A component part. And I cannot process vitamin A very well. And what happens is that I will have such a dry skin issue in the middle of the night. You just get, why am I itchy? I'm supposed to be on medication, it's supposed to be, but it's coming. I didn't realize that, so I had to write to the person, well, thank you so much for your being well-meaning, but body cannot take it. Just can't. So sometimes, we have well-meaning, and I try to be as gracious as I possibly can, but sometimes I'm going to tell you, anything with strong vitamin A, I don't know whether you are, have you heard of krill? Krill is kind of a prawn shrimp thing here. And they extract it. And then they use it, it's like equivalent to like cod liver kind of thing, fish oil kind of thing here. It's omega 3 and things like that. Okay, you might say, well, I can take prawns. So I tried krill just for one or two doses and I am sunk. I would just break up. So you got to be wise. See, don't be over simple about things like that. This very, very, this is what, it's a call for wisdom, but we must define it very carefully so that we don't end up with problems like that. And the danger is very real, and that is something that is very, that we want to watch out for. Okay, so this is verse 19, and so we want to be very, very, now verse 20, now, that is where we have to pause for a little bit. But the God of peace, now he is called the God of peace, and yet what he will do? He will crush Satan under his feet. How can a God of peace crush? Well, that's a very firm word. This is Genesis 3 word. You will bruise his heel and he will crush your head. Now that is it. Right? So we have to understand. In other words, at the back of it all, who is the one doing all this? Satan. That is what we are alerted to. The evil one is behind all the things. People who cause division, who cause schism in the church, it's always that problem. And somebody will say something. And they will tell you this and that and the other. Unfortunately, and they will camp on things which are unfortunate, really, really unfortunate. That we have little things like that, they will cause division. Why? You see, sometimes divisions come, schism come, not on big issues, but on the smallest of problems. Suddenly, the small problem becomes such a big issue. And they will tell you, you see, the principle of the matter, and they argue for a doctrine. You can't fool people all the time like that. It's not. So let's practice what we are told. Let's learn to be wise. Let's learn to be good. Okay? That people say, you don't know how to gamble. Yeah, I know. I don't know how to gamble. It's okay to be simple in this area. You don't know how to play poker? No, I don't know how to play poker. What is poker? I don't know, but I can tell you the story behind the cards. Would you like to tell it in the middle? You know why there are four colors? To represent the four seasons. Did you know that? Why are there 52? To represent the weeks of the year. Do you know? No, I'm serious. Those card games were actually invented to help people to teach the scriptures. And just be just forgotten is history. There was a time when people were going to ban the church from teaching things. They were banned. So what do you do? And they will tell you, what do you do? Right? And so they will tell, we'll talk about these things here. And the scriptures were actually, the scriptural teachings were actually embedded inside it. Now, it's interesting to see this. A lot of people just don't know these things here. Now, it does not mean, therefore, I'm going to start playing with the cards. No, don't swing to the other extreme. But Pastor just endorsed playing cards. No! I'm just telling you the history of it all. It doesn't mean that I'm endorsing it. See, so sometimes people can, but remember, the ultimate battle. Good. Well, let's give thanks together. Our Father, we thank you that we can read your word with understanding. Give us faith to continue to trust you and to believe your leading in every way. They pray that you will encourage our hearts much. Lift up our hearts, Lord, with greater faith, with greater hope. And we thank you that you hear our prayers always and you protect us. We pray that we'll find comfort and hope in your word. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen.